Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, folks. This is Chris Brown. I'm your host of Chris Brown's True Stewardship, and I'm just having a moment today, and I just want to say thank you. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for engaging, whether you're listening on the radio, whether you're listening on the podcast, or on the website. Really appreciate all the engagement on social media and you guys getting the word out, all the sharing on Facebook and all the retweets on Twitter and all the reposts on Instagram and just sharing. This message is getting out there and you guys are rock stars. Folks, if you missed yesterday's show with special guest Chris Hogan, be sure to check it out on iTunes. That show was incredible. He's always very insightful. His new book, Retire Inspired, is available now at stewardship.com. That's our website where we kind of one-stop shop, put everything there for you. If you're looking for a past show or you're looking for a current resource or you're looking for an article on a certain subject from any one of our contributors here at Ramsey Solutions, it all lives there at stewardship.com. We are ready today for your phone calls at 866-357-3283. Whether you've done something great with money or in life or done something that's not so brilliant, feel free to call in 866-357-3283. And of course, we will have a little bit of a chat about whatever it was that you did or are considering. All right, our first call is ready to go, and this call comes in from Colorado Springs. We have Barbara. Barbara, how are you?
Good, Chris. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, yeah, I'm honored. How can I serve you?
Well, my husband and I are feeling called to adopt. We have two little girls biologically, and our adoption agency is saying for an international adoption will cost $35,000
to
$45,000. Okay. So we know God can provide, and we're against taking out a loan for this. So I was wondering what advice or ideas you have on this.
Okay. So let's investigate the calling. You said that God's calling us to this. What does that feel like? What does that look like? How did that come about? How have you, I guess, solidified that calling?
Well, we've been praying about it. We attended a marriage conference, and the speakers there had spoke on adoption, and that was a prompting both my husband and I felt at that time. And then we do have two children already, but we want to add to our family, and we're it takes us a long time to make that happen. So
yeah.
We feel like adoption is a good option for us, and we are financially stable, I would say, but. I don't want to deplete our savings. I know there's grants that we can write to try to get help, and the tax deduction would help. But finances are just not the worry, but
yeah.
One of the major obstacles, I guess.
Have you investigated the spiritual call to international adoption versus domestic? How has that been solidified?
Yeah, we have an adoption agency that we've worked with, and they had questionnaires, and international is definitely what we're feeling for this first child to be adopted, because I'm a nurse, but I stay at home with our kids right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at a special needs adoption.
Well, I can't thank you enough for your heart. I mean, that's a tremendous heart to do that. I'm very selfless. And I love the fact that you know that you're not supposed to go into debt. And for our listeners, it's not my place or any of our place to say what someone else has been called to or has not been called to. But one thing I can stand firmly on the scriptures and say is that he doesn't call us to contradict things that are written in the scriptures. So when she, mm-hmm. Barbara says that she knows that she's not supposed to go into debt on this, I agree with her. that the Lord is not calling her to go into debt to do something great. That I know that without a shadow of a doubt. So here's what I would recommend. There's a wonderful book, Barbara, called Adopt Without Debt. Pretty cool title, huh? Adopt Without Debt, and it's written by Julie Gumm, G-U-M-M. Adopt Without Debt by Julie Gumm. And I would strongly encourage you to be patient with this. And it sounds like you got a real patient demeanor already. But give God a chance to show off by being still and knowing that he is God. John 3:8 says, the wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind, but can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. So you can explain how people are born of the Spirit. God is always moving. He's all around us. You can't always see him. But in these adoption scenarios, I have seen time and time and time again, when someone lets it breathe a little bit and gives it patience and gets it out there, not in a pushy way, not in obligating people and being obnoxious, but letting people know of the need, the opportunity to be able to get in on it. I've seen a lot of people, have their adoption either paid for or 50% paid for or 75% paid for. And those are some of the things that that Julie hits on in that book. So hopefully that's an encouragement to you. And if I had a copy, I would just flat out give it to you, but I don't have one on me.
That's all right.
I'm excited about you. That's really cool. It's a great calling. And mm-hmm. It's very selfless and very inspiring. And when I think through the lens of stewardship, of what you're about to engage in, I can't help. I don't know you personally, but I'm thinking you've got this nurturing demeanor. You've got this stable home. You've got this love to give, and you're stewarding all that for God's glory. And so we really appreciate you doing that.
Well, thank you for that. Yeah, we want to glorify God in everything we do. So,
well, that's obvious. Barbara, we appreciate the call.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. All right, folks. Well, that's, there's a lot of cool dreams out there. You know, one day I want to adopt, or one day I want to be able to have a nonprofit, or one day I want to start a foundation. And there's a lot of cool dreams out there. Next on the line from Huntsville, Alabama, we have Debbie. Debbie, how you doing?
Hi, Chris. I'm great. How are you?
I'm better every day. How can I help you?
Well, I have a question hoping I can clarify well enough for you to answer.
Okay.
My husband and I are reaching retirement age, and we're not ready financially for retirement. And I heard you say to someone that you need to do something radical. So so we own our home. We own two homes, actually. We own one that we rent out, and it is actually an income property. And we own a home that what we're considering doing is renting out as a vacation rental and living in an RV in order to kind of give us a little extra financial boost toward our retirement income.
Mm-hmm.
So just wondering if, that sound budget might be a doable idea. The biggest problem for us right now is we don't have an RV that's big enough to live in. So.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I like radical. I'm not sure if that radical idea is the best radical idea. The reason why is because I'm really not a fan of depreciating assets and spending a lot of money on something that's going to depreciate. Now, there's you can look at this from a financial standpoint and from a hobby standpoint. There's nothing wrong uh-huh. with recreational vehicles for a hobby if that's a hobby that you can afford and you choose to do that and you like to travel around and do that. But as an investment, as a financial principle, and if you're, what I hear is your heart to do something financially radical, I don't think that would be it. But let me ask you a few questions. And
let me clarify one thing, if I can.
Sure.
Our
mm-hmm.
plan is in retirement to actually live in an RV and rent out our home. So
okay.
this would be kind of a step toward that.
Okay.
And that is our future plan, is to actually live in an RV, travel, be available to do, emergency work or whatever in different parts of the country. So
okay.
I don't know if that clarifies.
Yeah, it does, because if I know that's your goal and we want to make sure that we're going towards your goal, then I'm all for that, that part of it. So let's break down the financial side of it. Currently, let me ask you some financial questions. Do you have any money saved right now?
Yes, you bet. Okay. We have about a little over $15,000 in our large emergency fund and up to $1,300 in our regular emergency fund.
Okay, and I'm assuming you have no debt?
Correct.
Okay.
Except
and then
for the true home.
Did you tell me the amount of money that you have invested?
Probably around 200, maybe 200,000.
Okay. And how old are y'all?
59, 58.
Okay. And how's your health? You guys feeling good?
Great.
Good. Mm-hmm. Good. And how long are you planning on working for?
I'd like to work for less than 2 years. So goal is July 2017. Don't know if that's doable. That's why we want to do something.
Radical, you said. Now, how much money do you picture yourself living on per year in retirement?
Well, that's a good question. Probably could do it for, I guess, $50,000. That's something we'd have to clarify.
We clarify
the expenses and whatnot, you know, as far as like what our expenses would be, but mm-hmm. I guess I haven't clarified that per year.
Yeah, well, let's say it is 50, and I think if you're living out of an RV, it'll probably be less than that. So I think maybe we'll go with 30. But I think, you know, a 40 might be easy math. So then you're good for what, 5 years of retirement? So with the $200K that you have, and then just say some interest is involved there. So you're looking at 6 years.
Okay.
So you can live on 6 years of retirement. So you're right. You do have to do something radical. Now, here's something that I would think you might be able to do. You might be able to, because right now your investments are pretty heavy into one thing, and it's a rental home and a primary residence. What would happen if you liquidated both of those? What if you sold or at least sold your rental home? Is there any equity in it?
Oh, yes. There's probably $150,000 equity, I would bet.
Okay, and how much do you owe on your primary?
$144,000.
Okay, so here's what I would do in your scenario. I would sell the rental home, apply that towards your primary, and then you've got a primary that's paid off, you have no rental home, and you can rent out your primary if you want to, which that wouldn't be your primary anymore, but you know what I'm talking about, the home that is currently your primary, and then you've got rental income from that, and then you can live in your RV, or if you choose to kick the tenant out and you're like, I'm tired of the RV, you can go back to a paid off home. But I don't hear anything in your plans or your goals that you want to be a landlord forever. So I like you getting rid of the rental, paying off your primary, and then you have absolutely no debt, and you're starting to save up for an RV. That's radical.
Okay, so even though the rental is an income property,
I mean, that's great that you're making some profit off of it, but I like your retirement being a little bit more diversified, and any kind of equity that you're not going to use towards paying off that primary, I like you putting even more of that towards your growth stock mutual funds and your long-term investments. You want to make sure you stay as diversified as possible.
Growth stock mutual funds.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the other word you used?
Oh, you just want to stay diversified. So you just want your funds to be in a lot of different places. Ecclesiastes 11:2 talks about that, about making sure that we stay diversified.
All right.
And while I got you on the line.
You feel like the market is more stable than a rental home, than property.
Yes, I do. Yeah. Well, I don't know about more. I just think they're both pretty stable. If you think you look at the historical basis over the last 85 plus years, I think both of them have performed very well. I think they're both good investments. I just think when you only have $200K in investments total and you have $150 in one property, that's not diversified enough.
Uh-huh. Huh. Okay.
I don't really like anyone having a rental home until their primary is paid off, as a general rule.
Oh, yeah.
You're doing great. If you're asking me for my technical advice, I wouldn't want anyone to have a rental home until their primary is paid.
Okay.
All righty. And here's the deal. If I want to, you're talking through all this and these big decisions. It reminds me of this great book that we have and a great class we have, and it's called The Legacy Journey. And I want to give that to you. I think it's a great book for you to for you guys to read. And it talks about the scriptural basis behind all of this and leaving a legacy to the next generation. So I want to give that to you. So in just a moment, when I hang up, Amanda will pick up the call, and she'll hook you up with the Legacy Journey book. Okay?
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you so much. I want to ask you real quick, what kind of dreams do you have? What kind of dreams do you have for retirement? Do you want to be a blessing or a burden? America's trusted voice on retirement, Chris Hogan, has a new book, a brand new book called Retire Inspired, that will show you how to set yourself and your family up for a secure financial future. Whether you're 25 and you're listening in or 65, it's never too early or too late for anyone to start planning for their retirement dream. Chris Hogan gives you the plan to get there and will walk you along the way, because retirement, he says in the book, it's not an age. Everyone thinks of retirement as an age. It's not an age. It's a financial number. What is the number you're going to need when you retire? Well, we got a plan for it. So does that mean you're putting away $200 a month, $800 a month, $50 a month? So he walks you through that. Go to stewardship.com today to order the brand new book from Chris Hogan, Retire Inspired. And it's for sale there at stewardship.com for $20. You shouldn't struggle with worry, uncertainty, and fear with thinking about your family legacy. You can retire prepared, and you can retire inspired.
If you have a question for Chris, email him at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call him at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. Now we continue with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
Again, the phone number is 866-357-3283. And from Orlando, this is Tracy. Tracy, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I'm better every day. How can I help you?
Yeah, thanks for taking our call. We purchased a condo in 2007 at the peak of the market, and we currently owe $156,000 on our condo, and they're probably selling around $80,000 to $90,000, and we feel like we're starting to outgrow it a little bit, and we want to start a family here shortly. So we're just not sure what to do with it, and we're also a little bit hesitant on purchasing another home just because we don't want to put ourselves in a hole financially either.
Yeah, so tell me a little bit more about the condo. What's the square footage?
It's a little under 900 square feet.
Okay, and when was it built? Is it old or is it newer?
In the 90s, it got refurbished.
Okay, and tell me a little bit about the neighborhood and the community. Is it up and coming? People are staying away from it?
Yeah, it's starting to decline a bit, which is another reason why we want to get out of here.
Okay, and is it doing fine structurally? Is there anything wrong with the house, with the condo?
No, the structure's doing fine.
Okay. And you said you owed 156 on it?
Mm-hmm.
And how did that happen? How do you owe 156 on it? I know you said top of the market, but was it 100% financing, or did you pull on an equity line?
Well, I initially bought it for 180, so now we still owe 156.
Okay.
It hasn't gone down much. I did do a loss mitigation program where they had ended up extending out the loan to do like a balloon interest payment to kind of lower our mortgage at the time.
So what are the terms of the loan right now?
They extended it out to like a 40-year mortgage, but then it's each, every 3 or 4 years, the interest rate goes up a bit.
Okay.
So right now we're at 3% interest rate, and then it balloons up to the very end, which it doesn't go over like 5%.
And you're making these payments okay?
Yes. I mean, we just want to be able to get out of here eventually.
Yeah.
It's just a small place for our family.
Yeah, well, it's a very, very reasonable concern. What's your income?
Currently combined, we make around $8,400 a month.
And what is the payment?
Right now it's $820.
Okay. So, what do you think you could rent it for?
We might be able to break even. We do have HOA, so our HOA is going up as well, so around like $300 or so.
So really, it's the what you're asking me is pay it off, stick with it and pay it off, or rent it out, or some kind of short sale option, I'm assuming.
Right.
Okay. The short sale really is very similar to a foreclosure. It's really in the same ballpark. You're still completely destroying your financial integrity from a credit standpoint, and I just don't recommend it at all. I would be surprised if that didn't bounce back a little bit. I think 80 probably is pretty low. If you look at the historical basis of real estate, it usually does. But I don't know anything about that specific actual market, the micro market that you're in. So have you had a real estate broker come in and look at the property?
No, not yet.
Okay. Well, here's what I'd recommend. I'd recommend you getting one of our endorsed local providers, a real estate broker that we have. We have plenty in Orlando. You can go to stewardship.com and click on ELP, and we've got people that we've already filtered and that we trust and that we would highly recommend to you. And what they'll do is they'll give you, as a local expert, they'll give you options. Now, here's what you can do. If your income is $8,400 and your payment's only $826, you theoretically could do some monster payments towards this thing. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't worry about whether you're paying too much on the mortgage until you're over the 80 or 90. You're still a long way away from that. But I think, you know, every dollar that you spend or put towards this is less money that you owe. And it's more money you're going to get when you eventually do sell it. So, I like you, you know, if you can get that balance down a little bit, you could even refi it, because that loan program you're in is just horrendous. So I really want you to get you to a 15-year and get you on a fixed rate and not on this variable stuff. You're in a high-risk situation right now, so there's probably some stipulations too on that loan. It might not be able to be an investment property. So yeah, the bottom line is you're upside down. I mean, big time. So rent it, or you can pay it off, but I would not short sale it.
Okay.
Okay. And then check in.
Thank you so much for taking our call.
Yeah. And check in with that ELP. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Tracy. Again, you can email in also chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. I got an email here from John. Said, "Good afternoon, Chris. Love the show. My name is John, and I had a question about investment property. I'm in the process of paying off my debt. Already have an IRA set up with auto pay from an ELP. I live in Long Island, and the taxes out here are astronomical. With that in mind, I would have to cover around $1,000 a month just in property taxes alone. So finally, my question is, would it make sense for me to invest in out-of-state properties where homes and taxes are cheaper and I will be able to sustain the downtimes?" Well, out-of-state, if you live right next to the border, maybe. But for most of us listening in, I never recommend being an out-of-state real estate investor or an out-of-state landlord. I just don't like you not being able to check in on your investment. When we have digital investments and we're investing in the stock market and mutual funds and those kind of things, you can check in on it. You can have your hand on the pulse. You can't do that with an out-of-state real estate investment. I don't like that at all. Your taxes, you know, they do need to be in consideration. So if they are high there, I definitely wouldn't invest in something that has that kind of liability with it, unless there was extremely high margins. So I would look into something maybe with higher margins, or maybe it's another investment, homes with other higher margins, or maybe you need to move to another town. And if you're close to the border, maybe there is wisdom in selecting a property that's maybe 45 minutes on the other side of the border, if that helps you in those tax situations. But as a general rule for everyone listening, we really shy away from being an out-of-state landlord. Well, folks, as I mentioned earlier, don't forget to get your copy of Chris Hogan's new book, Retire Inspired. I have read it cover to cover. It is amazing. Best retirement book ever. Absolutely incredible. Not only because it gives you the incredible, the retirement content that you need, but it's fun to read. It's enjoyable. And so check that out at stewardship.com for only $20. Imagine that. A retirement book that's fun. That doesn't happen every day, right? And that's really his passion behind writing this is, you know, he wanted to make sure he developed something that people can get inspired by and have fun in the process. So if you're listening via our podcast, we always love to hear what you think. So please leave us a review on there. Lots of positive reviews that keep our team very encouraged. And folks, until tomorrow, let's continue to manage God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory. God bless you.